Here's a question worth sitting with. If you could go back and tell your younger self what actually leads to a fulfilling life, what would you say? For most of us, the answer wouldn't match what we're chasing right now. The longest study on human happiness ever conducted, spanning over 8 decades at Harvard, reveals a truth so simple it sounds almost disappointing. The quality of your relationships matters more than anything else, more than wealth, fame, achievement, or even genetics. Researchers have followed hundreds of lives from adolescence into their 90s, tracking everything from blood chemistry to brain scans to intimate interviews. What they found challenges nearly everything our culture tells us about success. The Harvard study of adult development began during the Great Depression with two groups, privileged Harvard sophomores and disadvantaged boys from Boston's inner city. What makes this research revolutionary isn't just its length, but its method. Instead of asking people to recall their past, which memory distorts, researchers documented lives as they unfolded. When participant Henry met his wife Rosa while wearing mismatched socks, that detail was recorded in real time, not filtered through decades of nostalgia. The findings are stark. People connected to family, friends, and community live longer, stay healthier, and report greater happiness than isolated individuals. Yet despite our hyper-connected world, 1 in 4 Americans feels lonely. The data reveals something profound. Relationships don't just correlate with health, they cause it. Good connections trigger positive neurochemical responses, while negative interactions flood our bodies with stress hormones. Your social life isn't separate from your physical health, it's embedded in every cell. What's remarkable is how this scientific conclusion mirrors what philosophers and spiritual traditions have taught for millennia. After centuries of separate inquiry, we've come full circle to confirm ancient wisdom through modern measurement. We're spectacularly bad at predicting what will make us happy. Train commuters expected talking to strangers would be unpleasant, but those who engaged had significantly more positive experiences. This reveals our flawed affective forecasting. We consistently misjudge how experiences will make us feel. Our ancient brains focus on what's visible and measurable: money, achievements, social media followers. Relationship value remains ephemeral, impossible to quantify. Research shows happiness plateaus around $75,000 annual household income. Below that threshold, each dollar correlates with increased well-being. Above it, more money shows no clear relationship to emotional satisfaction. Consider two Harvard graduates. John Marsden pursued legal success, earning 3 times more than Leo DeMarco, who taught high school. At 55, John felt starved for affection and found life had more pain than pleasure. Leo found deep fulfillment in family and community. External advantages don't guarantee happiness. The invisible architecture of our connections does. Relationships require what researchers call social fitness. Like sedentary bodies, neglected relationships deteriorate. Loneliness inflicts measurable physical harm: suppressed immune function, diminished brain performance, disrupted sleep, increased pain sensitivity. For older adults, it's twice as harmful as obesity. 1/3 of people worldwide report frequent loneliness, with young adults experiencing the highest rates at 40%. Viewing life as predictable stages offers unexpected relief. That adolescent establishing identity, that young adult pursuing achievement over connection, that midlife parent suddenly aware time is finite, these aren't personal failures, but universal passages. Adolescence demands we hold but don't baby, admire but don't embarrass, guide but don't control, release but don't abandon. Young adult tests identity through new bonds and financial independence, though self-sufficiency can trap us in isolation. Midlife brings the sobering realization that life is probably more than half over, making generativity, investing beyond ourselves, the critical developmental task. Research shows older adults are often happiest. Despite external perceptions of decline, they've developed emotional wisdom that maximizes joy and minimizes stress. With mortality more apparent, time becomes precious and priorities clarify. Here's a sobering calculation. For the average 40-year-old, seeing a valued friend weekly until age 80 amounts to only 87 days total. Monthly meetings yield just 20 days. Annual visits, 2 days. Meanwhile, the average American spends 11 hours daily consuming media, 18 years of waking life between ages 40 and 80. Research identifies 7 keystones of meaningful relationships: safety and security, learning and growth, emotional closeness, identity affirmation, romantic intimacy, practical help, and fun and relaxation. As the Dalai Lama suggests, being wisely selfish means recognizing our interests are served by caring for others. Imagine beginning life with all the time you'll ever have in a single account. Every activity depletes it. When it's empty, life ends. The catch? You don't know how much you have. Harvard study couples in their 80s overwhelmingly regretted not giving enough thought to what deserved their attention. Edith wished she'd spent less time upset about silly things. Neil lamented not spending more time with his wife before she died. Even when we make time for important relationships, our minds wander. Research shows nearly half our waking moments are spent thinking about something other than what we're doing. In our overstimulated environment, this keeps our minds in perpetual distraction, and a wandering mind correlates with unhappiness. Human awareness resembles an owl, not a hummingbird. We're designed to notice something, turn our attention to it, and focus deeply. But smartphones and social media force our owl minds to flit ineffectively between stimuli. Mindfulness offers an ancient solution. Being alert to the present moment counters our tendency to dwell on past or future, which makes life feel like it's racing by. Global crises like the COVID-19 pandemic highlight our fundamental need for connection. Schools, theaters, restaurants, and ballparks weren't just about their primary functions. They were about being together. Relationships are essential for navigating life's difficulties, yet they're also sources of our deepest pain. The happiest Harvard study participants maintained strong connections by facing challenges directly rather than avoiding them. Avoidance feels easier, but carries serious consequences. Participants who dodged difficulties in middle age showed poorer memory and less life satisfaction 30 years later. The WISER model breaks emotional responses into 5 stages: watch, gather information before reacting; interpret, name what's at stake; select, choose from options; engage, implement your strategy; and reflect, examine outcomes. Many people get stuck fighting the last battle, anticipating past hurts will repeat. Breaking free requires approaching situations with a beginner's mind, open to new possibilities. Joseph Sitchi maintained a stable 59-year marriage, but kept emotional distance that frustrated his wife Olivia. Though an excellent listener, Joseph struggled to reveal himself, believing self-sufficiency was a virtue. His story shows how keeping peace creates stability at the cost of deeper connection. True intimacy requires both knowing another and allowing yourself to be known. James Cohen discovered the physiological power of touch while studying PTSD. When a Vietnam veteran became agitated in an MRI machine, his wife's hand-holding calmed him instantly. Cohen's experiment revealed that holding a loved one's hand during mild electric shocks significantly reduced both brain activity and fear centers and perceived pain, equivalent to a mild anesthetic. Relationships literally live inside us, generating hormones and chemicals that affect our hearts, brains, and body systems. Marital happiness at age 50 predicted physical health in late life better than cholesterol levels. Observers with no special training predicted with 85% accuracy which couples would remain together 5 years later by rating emotional expressions during conflict. 2 qualities stood out: affection and empathy. Any powerful, positive experience can counterbalance earlier negative ones. Andrew Deering proved it's never too late. This profoundly isolated man, who'd answered never when asked how often he socialized, was, by his 80s, responding daily after joining a health club at 67 and building his first real friendships. The good life isn't a destination. It's the path itself and those walking it with you. Traditional education teaches reading, writing, and arithmetic, but we need a fourth R: relationships. Unlike academic skills, humans are born with a biological need to connect. Social fitness should be taught alongside exercise and diet as fundamental to health. Social and emotional learning programs show students developing better peer relationships, improved academic performance, fewer conduct problems, and reduced emotional distress. The Harvard study participants showed remarkable dedication. 84% remained involved for life. This stemmed from relationships with staff and participants' sense of being part of something larger, addressing the universal question, "Do I matter?" The good life emerges not through leisure and ease, but through facing challenges and fully inhabiting each moment. It grows quietly as we learn to love and be loved, grow from experiences, and stand in solidarity through life's joys and adversities. Your relationships aren't separate from your health, happiness, or sense of meaning. They are the foundation upon which everything else is built. The question isn't whether you have time for deeper connections, but whether you can afford not to make them your priority.